A Brief History of the 3,000-Year-Long Lemon Ant War. Episode 2. A Peaceful Lemon is a Bitter Thing Nonetheless. There was something rotten in the great tree of Yolran, or rather, there was someone rotten sitting within its heart. King Yobrotl may once have been a great leader, but his youth had long since left his side, and he was now emaciated and weakened by a mold that would only typically visit the lemon feet after death. The advancement of his illness was so much that his legs had fallen off, his left eye had grown black, and his presence was a physical affront to all the senses, as he emitted a miasma of mold spores into the air around him. Despite this, there remained a portion of him that defied all degradation, a true vein of yellow that was said to have been kept alive by the youthful joy of the Princess Yalari herself. The news of her death came therefore on the wings of two sorrows, the first of her loss and the second of the feared precipitated ruin of King Yobrotl, father and steward to the Lemon Feet. It was his chancellor and master informant, Ithrin Sint, who was eventually entrusted with breaking the tragedy to the king, as he stood closest in his trust and was the most experienced in the navigation of his mood. A few words, however, must be spent in describing Ithrin Sint, for he was not entirely who he claimed to be. He was not a lemon, nor was he born a lemon foot. Ithrin Sint was in fact a spider, disguised in a lemon's skin. It is a great wonder that Ithrin's ruse went undiscovered for so long, as the eight limbs that supported the great lemon carcass wrapped around him should have been enough of a clue. Instead of a face, there was a crudely cut hole from which peered eight black eyes, and his lemon skin laid sideways instead of upright. Nothing could have appeared more strange and alien when compared to the fair form of the lemonkin, and yet he walked the branches of Yolran unchallenged. Perhaps in the order of things, accepting the reign of a putrid king did not make a monstrous adviser seem so incredible. Perhaps the lemon feet were simply incapable of making this most basic of distinctions, in the same way that a bird may not distinguish the cuckoo among its offspring. With our historical hindsight, we can say that Ithrin Sint was disguised as a lemon simply because he was a spy. For whom and what cause are questions that are best to be introduced in their own time, but presently we may simply remark that his treachery held a certain utility to our story, as he kept a detailed journal of the whole affair, and without his betrayal our knowledge of the unfolding of the war would only be circumstantial at best. I have never known the king to be speechless, he did write about the telling of the princess's death. It is saddening to see him like this. Once nothing could have tempered the acid in his veins, but today I saw a lemon, tired and lost, stare up at me like a seedling still attached to its branch. After a while, all he could muster up to say was, "Where does such evil come from, Ithrin?" No doubt Ithrin knew more about evil at that moment than he cared to divulge, for he lived by the art of deception, and the ways of arachnids were so many degrees removed from the innocent minds of the lemon kind. Ithrin kept his peace, simply observing the king's lament under his eight eyes and the tremor of his forelimbs. He knew that beyond the tears was being prepared a growing front of rage, like so many siege weapons assembled under the cover of fog and rain.
"I thought ants were part of the natural order. I see now that there is nothing natural about them. What is it they do, Ithrin, that makes their hearts so black and cruel?"
"They dig, my liege. They dig. They dig. They dig."
Yobrotl turned the phrase in 50 different forms, at once full of hate, then giddy with an absurd mirth, or soft with the sudden apprehension of some deeper meaning.
"They dig," he concluded, "beneath us, beneath our tree. How should we have suffered to let them eat at our roots of our home? Am I not the steward of Yolran?"
"You are, my liege."
Then wherein my charge have I failed so greatly to be punished by a pain so tailored to my heart? Ithrin quickly calculated the momentum and drift of the king's intention, and felt its trajectory too close to his own present position. He was, after all, the chief informer, and the king had specifically not been informed of the great anthill as a credible threat. And for good reason, they were a community of wanderers and foragers, common recyclers and bottom feeders, not worth the attention of heads of state. To consider them as a threat would be as absurd as accusing the common fly, which spends its day fighting for dung, of setting up a new church to rival the people's faith. Collisions could not be avoided, but only sometimes redirected, provided it was done early enough. So it was with the king's mind. His thoughts rushed forward without control, like a meteorite bouncing between planets in an endless cycle of destruction. Perhaps it was an organized attack. Yorbrothel, though with a curious expression, took the bait. Are such beasts capable of such an attack?
They have a city, my liege.
Yorbrothel's eyes widened.
And a queen.
From the highest branches they only seem to flicker like grains of black sand in the sun. Sometimes as a boy one would wander into the palace, and we would feed it scraps like a lost pet. But lately they have haunted me at night. I dream of rivers of ants bursting forth from my eyes and devouring Yolran until nothing is left.
A terrible omen for sure. If Yaelari were here, I know her. She would sue for peace with these things. A momentary smile crossed his half-rotten face, perhaps the last smile he ever gave. But she is not. Whether she died by foul accident, or even fouler intent, her death cannot go unanswered. Summon the branch lords, Ithrin. Tomorrow Yalron goes to war. Ithrin shrieked most unnaturally for a lemon, so much so that even Yorbrothel looked at him sideways. Yalron, in its illustrious and ancient history, had never yet gone to war. Ithrin was uncertain that the king knew of such a thing. He suspected that someone or something must have been advising him behind his back. He glanced around the room, as if the traitor would reveal himself. Could it be possible that amongst the court of the king another such spy had infiltrated the close council? If so, then they must have been disguised just as he. But how could he be so duped by such a petty parlor trick? Enough for Lemonsight, but quickly seen through his eight eyes. There was, in fact, no word for war in the lemon tongue. The word was foreign and closer sounding, like Wutrepi, perhaps a word borrowed by the ancient crustacean tongue. Perhaps a pill bug had managed to whisper to the king through the walls, hidden as they were in the shadowy soft parts of the tree.
What is Wutrepi? Ithrin feigned not to know the word, though many of the spider castes were some of the greatest masters in its art. War is, Yorbrothel wondered how best to explain the concept. War is the crushing of a seed until it sprouts no more.
I see. But a seed is defenseless. Can a foot crush the great ant hill?
Certainly, our strength is by far superior. Therefore, their destruction will be as easy as the crushing of a seed.
If I may, my liege, is there not a chance that, to follow your analogy, as we drop our foot to crush our enemy, we discover that their strength is greater than we had imagined? Would then it not be apt to say that war, under such conditions, is like an endless winter between two cities, until only one is left to see the spring? War is perhaps the enduring of lies and pain and death, in the hopes that the enemy endures it less. It is the suffering of great humiliations, for the enemy to be humiliated all the more. In war, all thoughts, both science and arts, would be turned towards it. It would rob children of their sleep, safety, and sure meals. It would steal the peace of the elderly and give them famine and desolation. In all this, I think war would better be compared to a rope you hang your neck in, all the better to lift and strangle your enemy. Yorbrothel listened to Ithrin's tirade with a subtle air of bemusement.
As ever, my counsel, you pretend not to know something, when in fact you are most wonderfully versed in it.
Thank you, my lord, but lemons do not go to war.
The branch lords themselves will not understand your intention, Ithrin pleaded. Although he had intended for the ire of the king to be directed to the ants, but had not imagined that the idea of war was fermenting beneath his very peel.
They will understand, as surely as there is acid in their blood, Yorbrotl ground the words in his mouth.
Ithrin felt as an anxious knot in his abdomen. He was used to keeping abreast of his king's humours, but there was something other at play. To use an analogy close to Ithrin's understanding, he felt the sudden pull of a thread unknown, and which he had not spun himself.
There is another thing we must attend to. We must retrieve Yalari's seeds.
A dark premonition passed across the king's face.
Were they not destroyed in the fall?
Uncertain, but if someone were to recover them.
Careful, Yorbrotl silenced him. These walls have ears. Take me to the aquifer, and let us discuss this matter there.
With his eight limbs, Ithrin spun the king around his thread, weaving them through a series of three pulleys anchored into the ceiling. In this manner he was able to lift him adeptly off his chair and onto a specially segmented maple leaf, pried for the long hairs, which facilitated its passage along an uneven floor. The king's chamber stood at the uppermost centre of the trunk, and was ideally connected to all the adjoining branches. All traffic and trade would by necessity pass beneath his gaze, but there was one passage into the trunk that was accessible from the royal quarters alone. This led to a small chamber, deep within the trunk and reinforced with the sapcraft of the elders, a layer of finely tuned amber that captured and distilled the daylight into the closed-off room. Central to this secret place was the pool of citric acid, in which the king bathed daily as part of a rejuvenation tonic. The water had to be replaced daily, as the mold quickly infested it and rendered it pustulating with new spores. Ithrin closed the door of the sapcraft behind him, transforming the room into an almost impermeable cone of silence.
If what you fear is true, counsel, then you must see to it that no one discovers those seeds. You must bring them back, lest my legacy perish in some dark and distant hole. We will transplant them again in another subject.
My liege, Yalari was the only viable candidate to house your pips.
The initial 13 who were put to trial, I cannot be certain they will find another.
Then we'll leave them to grow out of her corpse.
The body is too close to the tree, Ithrin interjected. The sapling will not survive for long in the shadow of Yalron.
Then what do you advise?
Go to war, but not in earnest. Use war as only a cover to retrieve Yalari's body, and then once gone, declare the offence to have been righted, and celebrate your victory with your people.
Yorbrotl looked pained by the suggestion. He had been taken with an obvious lust for belligerence, stymied perhaps by the newness of the concept and possibility in his head, and combined with the earnest grief of Yalari's passing. But his fear that the matter under discussion be discovered outweighed all desire for revenge. The truth was that Yorbrotl had long outlived his chance of replanting, a great honour bestowed upon the kings, whereby his dying corpse would be gently glided off to some remote corner and laid to rest, allowing his king seed to take root and form the beginning of a new colony for a new and budding branch of their great civilization. But for him, having stubbornly held on to his reign for so long beyond its natural term, he had foregone the window where his body would still provide the ideal sustenance for a new sapling. Now he risked contaminating the germinated seed, and risking with it the future of their illustrious race. The proposed solution, conceived from Ithrin's web-like mind, was to transpose the remaining viable seeds into potential candidates, and pass off their corpse as the king's own, once the time for his burial did arrive. 13 others had succumbed to this failed medical process, but Yalari had recovered without significant impact to her health, and now her body, containing the last viable king seed, lay slowly decomposing at the bottom of a pit within the great ant hill.
"Is all this necessary?"
Elmund woke me from the depths of my narration.
"Is what necessary?" I retorted. "I thought there was going to be a war. What's all this piss about a king having a spider putting his seeds in a princess?"
I almost expectorated a spittle of magma out of disbelief. "The whole thing, my friend, the whole thing cannot be understood without explaining the politics and intrigue of the situation. I wonder, have you ever listened to the narration of a history before?"
"Thank the shells, no," he said. But lemons don't do politics anyway. Don't do politics. That is as much as saying the moon does not count. The moon doesn't count. It most certainly does, every evening for thousands of years. I hear it counting as it passes overhead. You merely have not noticed such things. You have to slow down to appreciate such details.
Now who are you telling to slow down?
I now realized that the phrase could be taken as highly offensive in the snail's understanding, so I added, compared to a rock, your pace of life is horrendously fast, my dear Elmond. That is all that I meant by the phrase.
Not fast enough, if you ask me, he mumbled, pressing onward up my back.
Now where was I? Ah, yes. The Royal Aquifer Sanctum, the sealed chamber of Sapcraft. The king and his council strengthened their resolution, and in a bath of citric acid, the king decreed that every branch lord and three of each of their eldest branchlings must appear before his court within 3 days' time. What they did not know was that he was declaring Yalron's first declaration of war, and thereby its slow precipice into the void.